Universal Soul Love.
This is Detective David Love.
And Dr. Lana Love.
Broadcasting live from Land Down Under on the BBS Radio Network. Welcome to our show.
Lovely to have you with us. Today we have special guest Magenta Pixie on our show. Magenta is an intuitive consultant, a consciousness coach, and a channel for the white-winged collective consciousness of nine. We're very excited to have her. Magenta Pixie has been in communication with a collective group of light beings or higher self aspects since 1993. She affectionately refers to these beings as the white-winged collective consciousness of nine, or simply the nine. Regular meditation and a journey of synchronicity within her own life led to this awakening and connection. Magenta releases her messages from the nine in video form on YouTube, and she has been releasing her first messages since 2008, and she's received 9.5 million video views and has created over 400 videos, so she has been right around the world. She's working individually with clients all over the world and is the author of a book called Masters of the Matrix that I cannot wait to read, which teaches individuals, particularly starseeds and lightworkers, to find their own sovereignty through the understanding of their own energy system. Her passion is helping people to move through trauma, embrace the enlightenment and ascension path, and find their own connection with creativity, divinity, and joy.
Wow, very excited to have Magenta Pixie on Universal Soul Love Radio. This is going to be great. I've been looking forward to this. Welcome to the show, Magenta.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me. Lovely to be here.
So I understand you've been on our good friend Alexander Meter's show quite a few times.
Oh, just once, but yes, I have. Yeah, she's great. Love her.
Okay.
I must say, I love your British accent. I'm so used to having Americans on this show and suddenly realize that you're from Britain.
I'm used to having Australians on this show.
Well, I love the American accent and I love the Australian accent as well.
Magenta, I've seen a photo of you and your hair is a beautiful flame red colour. Is that why you have the name Magenta?
Well, I'm not sure, actually. Magenta sort of just, came to me one day without much thinking. So I hadn't really likened it to the hair, but I guess that does fit. So yes.
Wonderful. Magenta, I have so many questions for you. I mean, it sounds like your life has really changed since you've been in communication with your higher self. Have you always been spiritual, or have you? Was there a time when things really changed for you?
Well, without going into a really long, deep story, that energy was always there when I was a child. I was conscious of energies, conscious of fairy entities outside in the garden. I was always living in my imagination. My father was a hypnotherapist and an opera singer, and he took me into hypnosis when I was very young, as young as 3. So he did several hypnosis sessions on me regarding helping me to sort of do things at school and take a headache away. Then when I was about 11, he taught me self-hypnosis, and I would sort of lose myself and bring forward this aspect of myself that my father said was my subconscious mind, but I always felt that this aspect was an entity, and I used to call him Subby, and Subby would speak to my father while I was in hypnosis. So all of this has gone on right from childhood. And then I guess when I reached my teens, I kind of came out of that imagination world and was a little bit more in the real world with my friends, and I kind of pushed all this away somewhat, although I always knew that I was supposed to be looking for a group of individuals that were like me. I'd had this knowing from birth, really. And I was constantly looking for these people, this large group of people that I was supposed to connect with. I think my activation had come on too early. But so I joined the drama group and I did lots of drama and I kind of found a few sort of soul connected people there. So I was always kept open, never really closed down. But I hadn't really understood that this imagination aspect of me, this drama aspect of me, was me staying aware. I didn't understand what was happening at the time. And then it was when I was in my sort of early 20s, mid 20s, that I consciously made the intention to make a connection, to sort of channel. And the connection was made in meditation in 1993 with a fifth dimensional spirit guide entity. And then I worked with him for several years. And then he sort of morphed into a sixth dimensional aspect of himself, which is an individualized and completely different entity, which was one white winged being. And then that one white winged being morphed quite quickly into nine. So that happened around, oh crumbs, 2000 and maybe 2005, 2006. And then I talked to them a lot, but not constantly. And then it was in 2008 that they told me it was time to go public, because I'd done a lot of drama. In 1993, the fifth dimensional entity said to me, would use theatre metaphor and would say to me, what you're going through now is a dress rehearsal. It's not the real, you know, it's not the real thing. It's a dress rehearsal, as in a big, big change on this planet. So it's like I kind of went through a mini ascension back then in 1993, and I understand that many others did as well, like a dress rehearsal. And they said, we'll let you know when it's showtime. And, you know, years went past and I never got that message. It was showtime. So I kind of gave up a little bit in a way, thinking, well, nothing's happening. I don't know what all that was about. It was a bit of a crazy moment, crazy sort of year. And then it was in 2008, they just casually said to me, do you remember when we told you that it was a dress rehearsal and we would let you know when it was showtime? And I'm like, yes. And they said, well, it's now. I said, now? What now? Right now? It's showtime. Yes. Well, what, really? Well, what do you want me to do? So that's kind of how it came about. So the very calmly, it's time to go public. What does that mean? Do you mean you want me to start telling people that I communicate with you, which is something I'd kept secret all these years, pretty much. Only a few people knew. Yes, it's time to tell people you communicate with us. Well, who do you want me to tell? You know, everyone. And then they were talking about this specific group of people that I would be communicating to. And I'm sort of thinking, well, where do I find them? They pointed to the internet. Then I realized, oh, okay, I'm supposed to go online. And that's kind of what happened. And then within a sort of month or two of Googling around the internet, trying to find a group of people, I started to release the information that was coming from them. I started to release those messages in video form on YouTube, and that was in 2008.
Wow, that's amazing. That sounds sort of familiar to me as well. When I went through my psychic awakening in, I guess it was 2013 into 2014, and then I met Lana, and all of a sudden, it was almost like when I came to Australia, I heard the same message. It's showtime. And, you know, I often talk about the game of life and the roles we play. And it what you said just sort of rang a note in me, so to speak. It sounds very familiar.
That's right.
It's
well,
action
yeah,
time, you know.
The nine said to me that there were loads and loads and loads of other people that were just like me that had had a very similar story, and they were also being told to go public and connect, you know, around the same time or sort of within a few years before or a few years after. So I knew that there were others out there that were like me, but I hadn't met anyone yet. And I was shown them as well when I went into sort of an astral projection when I left my body. I was shown these people that were all incarnated on Earth, and I just couldn't believe how many there were, because I'd lived my whole life talking to people about these things, and any starseed and light worker will understand this, sort of getting ridiculed, not believed, people looking at you like you're completely crazy, and you kind of feel really alone with it, and yet you know you're here to speak this, and you know it's correct, and you know it's true. So when I saw all these people in the astral realms that the nine took me to, and I realized they were all the same, and then I realized how many there were, it was amazing, really, at that moment. I hadn't met any of them in real life, but I saw them all right across the world. It was just fantastic.
Wow. Tell me, when you talk about the fifth and the sixth dimensions, I think you mentioned, or is it the fourth and the fifth? Can you clarify for our listeners what those dimensions are?
Well, yes. Firstly, I would say that there are many different models to explain dimensions, and the best way to explain them is your own model and the way that you communicate with your own guidance system and you find your own resonance. The way the nine have explained everything to me is that the third dimension is this reality, the linear reality. Dimensions are a state of consciousness, but they're also, if you like, sort of places, frequencies, all submerged, superimposed upon one another. They're all in one place. But if we were to imagine them as being on top of one another, that's quite a good way of explaining the dimensions in a linear sense. So the third dimension is this dimension, and it's linear thinking and quite sort of strong polarity. So there will be, if you like, good, bad, fear, love, that sort of thing. And then in the fourth dimension, it's more our dream time consciousness, our collective consciousness, where we communicate with the spirit realm. It's still a linear consciousness, but it's out of the box compared to third dimensional thinking. So people who think in a fourth dimensional sense would be mediums and perhaps people who follow religion, people in a lot of occult Wiccan movements. It's out of the box thinking, but it's still in a linear sense. So that's the consciousness of that dimension, is the dream worlds, I guess. The fifth dimension is the world of archetypes. So this is the way, this is very much the place where the brain, the left hemisphere of the brain and the right hemisphere of the brain sort of merge in balance. And we begin to interpret everything in an archetypal sense. There's lots of love there. The polarity there is no longer fear and love or good and bad. It's more like love and light. It's more like there's still a polarity, but there it's a higher vibrational polarity that you get within the fifth dimension. Everything's based on love and compassion and forgiveness. And when you look into that realm, you would see a interpretation of energies, just like you do in the fourth dimension. But in the fifth dimension, the interpretation of energies are of a higher vibration. So you may see things like a crystal palace, a beautiful field, rabbits, rainbows, ascended masters, angels. Everything still has form, but it's very, very peaceful and beautiful and natural and clean. It's a beautiful energy, and it's really akin to the chakras, I guess. The fifth dimension would be the heart chakra, also known as the green ray. So these are all the same things that would mean the fifth dimension. The sixth dimension is the world of geometry and mathematics and code. That's where everything starts, if you like, and it falls down the dimensions as it forms. So this is where you would see algorithms, and this is where you would see binary code, and this is where you would see geometry, geometric formations. So it's a different way of thinking. And I'm told that the majority of starseeds are fifth dimensional, and there are quite a few within that sort of fifth dimensional vibration that are moving through what the nine call the higher stargates of hyperspace. They are like sort of portals within the ceiling fabric of the fifth dimension, if you like. And when you go through them, you find yourself in the sixth dimension. So there are a few star seeds, quite a few star seeds that are touching that dimension. So anyone who's picking up geometry and seeing the Merkaba and is drawn to Metatron's cube and doesn't know why, seeing numbers like 1111, this is the sixth dimension. So we are right now, geologically, we're in a third dimensional world that is transitioning through to a fourth dimensional reality. It's more correct, perhaps, to call this a density. We're switching from third density to fourth density in a geological sense, as in actual matter. When it comes to the consciousness, we're always ahead of the density. We're always one step ahead of the density. So if we're moving from third to fourth density, as in the geology of the planet and the physical aspect of the body, then the consciousness will be moving from sort of fourth, fifth, and sixth dimensional states, because that in itself carries the geology of the planet itself forward. This is kind of my understanding of what's happening right now.
Wow, Magenta, thank you. I have never heard anyone so succinctly describe this.
That's a very specific, very good definition of these dimensions. Can I just clarify a couple of things? So I belong to a Rosicrucian order for many years ago, and it was filled with professionals from various disciplines and, metaphysical knowledge, metaphysical philosophy and beliefs. And, of course, they didn't want to go public due to ridicule and, you know, losing employment and isolation and that kind of reasoning. And then later on, after I went through my spiritual awakening, I had contact with my higher self eventually, and the goddess, the divine feminine consciousness. So I'm thinking, from what you just said, that maybe metaphysical knowledge might lie within the fourth dimension, and maybe contact with higher self and archetypes like Aphrodite might be in the fifth dimension?
Well, yes, it would depend, really. I mean, this would permeate through fourth, fifth dimension, and potentially somewhat in sixth. With something like the Rosicrucian Order, which I know very little about, there will be models of explanations of reality, just like there are in all these different disciplines. And each model has its correctness and its truth within it, because within these different sort of factions, there are people who've moved into enlightenment and have brought down this information and this knowledge in some way. It's interesting, the rose, I know the Rosicrucian, the word rose is in there, and that's a very high vibrational. That would be a fifth dimensional symbol, as a flower, as a rose. But if you go beyond that to the sixth dimension, you're going to be looking at geometric formations that move into a rose pattern, looking more like a fractal. So you would have fourth, fifth, and sixth dimensional teachings within this, metaphysical teaching, and potentially beyond those dimensions as well. We're interacting with all the dimensions all the time, but I haven't really gone much further than understanding the beginning, the early layers of the sixth, really. It's a big subject.
It's highly involved. But it's interesting, because everything that you say and everything that there seems to be like a basic understanding and a basic, very fundamental underlying philosophy or principles across the board on all belief systems. I've noticed where there's a common language between people in the spiritual community.
Yes,
it's interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah. There will be, because we each have these codes, I guess, within us that are part of our DNA, if you like. So the minute somebody starts to wake up, they will activate these codes, and that the knowledge of the truth of reality and all of existence is then accessed. It's just the interpretations that are different, and that's why there are so many different philosophies and different religions. They're simply different interpretations of the same energy, the same truth, the same history, if you like, of existence. It's just different interpretations.
Can I ask you regarding the rose? This is kind of interesting. Yesterday morning, I woke up and I was having sort of a lucid dream as I was waking up, and someone left a black rose, and I didn't see the being or anything, but someone left a black rose still fully blossomed on my doorstep, outside my door, in my mind's eye. And I haven't quite gotten the meaning of it, but...
Wow, well, that's really powerful. That, you know, that's... you know, come into your reality. It's just, you know, another sign or symbol that you are going through another upgrade, another awakening. You know, a black rose, someone else might see a white feather, somebody else might be constantly seeing 1111 all day long. These are like just synchronicities to let you know that you're on track. But the black rose would be specific to the, you know, the fractality of life and of reality. It's a symbol of beauty. It's a symbol of power. And it's also a symbol of polarity. When we're seeing something black or something white, what we're really working with is balance there. We're coming into balance.
Okay, now that makes perfect sense, because that is what I've been going through, and I focus a lot on that, on balance. As a matter of fact, I heard the word temperance, a definition for temperance, a few days ago as well, so I guess it probably is related to that. And I often write about the spiritual warrior mindset, which has a lot to do with your center of power and balance. So I guess
it is very interesting. Mind you, David, wherever I am with David, he always sees the number 23 everywhere, on every car number plate. I don't know how he manages to get the number 23.
Or the triple A, or the triple nine. Yeah. The triple nine being the highest number in the philosophy.
It just blows me away. It's interesting that there is, actually, I wasn't sure whether there was a sixth dimension or not, because I had heard of fourth dimension, fifth dimension. It's just amazing. We were recently in Bali, and I walked into this amazing shop, which was all about sacred geometry, and I was blown away. I was very drawn to it, all sorts of shapes and colors and what looked like a Merkaba-shaped lamp, which I was so drawn to. And we purchased a book called The Templates, and we're actually going to have these guests on our show, Juliet and Jeeva Carter, and it's all about the holonomic model of transcendence and various rituals you can do to turn on these codes. So I'm very excited that you've mentioned the sixth dimension, because I seem to have an affinity with that at the moment. How many dimensions are there?
Do you know, I knew you were going to ask that. Well, it depends on the model, really. I work with quite what the nine show me as a basic model. We can't sort of run before we can walk, and I want to understand these dimensions and really sort of process them before I move on to other models. So I work with a nine dimension model, but that's just one model. It's not the truth of reality. There's a nine dimension model, but then once you've worked with those dimensions, then you'll be shown a 10th dimension. So there's a 10th dimensional model, an 11th dimensional model, 12 and 13. So up to 13 dimensions, that's kind of where we could work in a linear reality. Beyond the 13th dimension, there is no measurable energy there, but it really depends on the viewpoint. There's another model where there are 144 dimensions. Now that is a quantum sort of version, a quantum aspect of a 12th dimensional model. So you know, I don't really understand all this, to be honest, but it's all to do with the nine. Tell me, it's all to do with memory, different forms of memory, and how much memory you can hold, you know, simultaneously. It's like if you were to hold memories of one thing, you're in a linear sense. If you're holding memories of two things, you're more, you know, going into duality. So that would be likened to, I guess, bilocation consciously. Trilocation would be you're holding three different when I say memories, three different lifetimes, three different timelines, or three different existences. And we can go on and on and on and expand, because source holds the memories, the awareness of every single structure, you know, throughout infinity and beyond. So, you know, from that perspective, there are an infinite number of dimensions. And also from that perspective, there are no dimensions at all. There is only one space. But it's interesting you should mention the template, because there are certain words the nine tell me that are part of this universal language, part of the language of light. And the word itself is a code. It's an activation. So sacred geometry will be a code. That's why pretty much anyone who's woken up spiritually will start to get called by sacred geometry. They will get called by energies within the land. They will get called by crystals and the crystal skulls, because these all are activation tools. But there are certain words as well, and template is one of them. Template, blueprint, these are our coded words to trigger our memory. So we'll think template, ooh, I like the sound of that word. What does it mean? You know, and then we'll start seeing a template, a matrix, you know, a blueprint, a code. These are all words to trigger our memory.
I guess intonations and resonances like Om, which I see a lot, my higher self reminds me of quite a bit, which I don't quite understand. I know it's like a universal type of code. It is also an activator.
That's right, yes. It will be. Each frequency, like a toning or a code or a chanting or a song, the cells within the body respond to that frequency. There is a frequency known as the golden frequency. So when you hear that tone, or when you speak that tone, when you're chanting, will draw that resonance in. You trigger a sort of a cellular response within the body, and the golden tone brings you up to the emotion of bliss, which then triggers the alchemy in a cellular sense. So it sort of wakes up the cellular structure, and then triggers you into this sort of light body awareness, which is the same thing as memory, because memory isn't necessarily you holding a visual of something. Memory is a feeling that you will have without even processing what it means. So the toning itself is like a memory in itself. The tone is the memory. Everything is to do with sound. So yes.
That is amazing. I remember when I was, I heard the chanting of some monks, and most amazing chanting I have ever heard. And I felt that it awakened something in me, and I was drawn to the speakers in this place where I was, where they were playing this, and it awakened something in me, some inner knowledge, and I had never had an experience like that before. I have also heard that light itself can also trigger this, and I know that there are some people that will focus on the sun at sunrise and sunset. And that, you know, the light itself can trigger things. And it's just amazing to realize that our bodies, our physical bodies, can actually change. Our DNA can start being triggered in different ways. Absolutely amazing.
It is amazing. It is. And these triggers are everywhere, all around us. You know, we're completely, they're every single place you look. You know, people often say to me, oh, nothing spiritual is happening in my life. It's like there's no synchronicity. I feel really blocked. And then I'll talk to them and, you know, slowly they'll realize that there's triggers in your bedroom and in your garden and down at the shops and, you know, in the film you're watching and the music you're listening to and the food you're eating. I mean, they're just everywhere. So it is absolutely amazing. And when you become aware of it, it's like another world is superimposed on this world. Well, that's the other dimensions that you are seeing. You are seeing the fourth and the fifth and the sixth dimensions. You are realizing that they're superimposed upon this dimension, and you become aware of them and you start to work with them, and then that's when synchronicity occurs. And it is amazing. It is really mind-blowing how everything is just so precise, and how this plan that is life is engineered. It's mind-boggling how genius it is. Yeah,
beautiful. Look, we might take a break now, and perhaps after the break we would love to get you to talk to us about your book Masters of the Matrix, because David and I have often talked about ways in which we can actually step out of the matrix.
Right. Yeah, we do talk a lot on the Universal Soul Love about all sorts of things related to the matrix, and also about the paradigm shift. And love what you had just said about infinite dimensions, because I think within the source, all things are possible, and it's sort of, yes, it's very interesting. It's a very interesting metaphysical, philosophical discussion. So I'm thinking maybe we could go to break and talk more about that in your book.
Yeah, that would be great.
All right. Well, we'll go to break, and we'll be back.
Okay.
Magenta Pixie. Thank you. Hello. Welcome back to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love.
And Dr. Lana Love, welcome to our show. And we've just had a break. We've been talking to Magenta Pixie, an intuitive consultant, consciousness coach, and a channel for the nine. Welcome back, Magenta.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Magenta, we were very keen to get you to talk a little bit more about your book, Masters of the Matrix. The title is amazing, and I know Dave and I have often talked about stepping out of the matrix.
We have a big topic on this show.
Yes, well, the title was given to me from the nine before I even started writing a single word. It was actually a conversation I was having with my partner. He was asking me all these questions about past life contracts, and I was, you know, responding, and then he kept asking deeper and deeper questions, and I said, oh, hang on a minute, I don't know the answer to that. So I brought the nine through, and they came through to respond to all his questions, and we're talking to him about the Masters of the Matrix and being a master of the matrix. Really sort of interesting sort of session, you know, that came through that day. So a couple of days later, I said to my partner, all those questions that you asked the other day, I'm going to sit down and bring the nine through again and ask them to go through that again to make a video for YouTube. So I did what I usually do, got out my pen and paper and asked them to come through and if they could tell me again what they were saying to me the other day. And I began to write, and I'm furiously writing as I'm hearing them speak to me. And what usually happens is I move into this sort of energy, and then it sort of moves up into this sort of, I go into a kind of a trance state, I guess, and then it all comes down into a finish. And that wasn't happening. It was staying in this heightened place. And there were just reams and reams of writing with yet more questions. And then I slowly realized, this is not a video for YouTube. This is going to be a book. There's no way this can be finished in a 10 or 15 minute, you know, piece of connection with them. So this went on for many, many days and continued with this work. And so the beginning of this, it started off really in response to the questions my partner had about past life contracts, speaking about going into like a blueprint or a web. And in that web is stored information for each individual. So when you have spoken before about exiting the matrix, and I know that the matrix in that sense is a very well-known metaphor for perhaps a holographic reality that could be perceived as an entrapment. So individuals, when they move into enlightenment, would want to move away from that. This metaphor for Matrix is more about this web or this field that is a field of information that is around all things, and specifically around us as humans. It's been known to be the aura, but the aura is quite a simplified term for this, just a sort of a vibration or perhaps a certain color. This is actually a web that interlocks with the larger web, the larger matrix, but this is a field of information that is everything that we are outside of a physical body. It's actually a sixth dimensional aspect of ourselves, and in this matrix, this web, this grid, it contains everything that's ever happened, everything that's happening now, and everything that ever can or will happen throughout these probabilities. And we can access these different aspects of this matrix, and the nine in this particular transmission that became the book really are talking about how to master this, how to actually stand within the center of this field and be able to work with it so that we can ultimately, using the other metaphor of the matrix, exit that superimposed holographic reality that is an entrapment. They were speaking about a fourth dimensional field having like astral traps, if you like, so that when we leave the physical body at the end of our life, when we go through the death experience, instead of just leaving this reality and moving on into a oneness or into a higher vibrational state, if we haven't activated this aspect within us, we can get caught within this hologram, if you like, and we just bounce back into another incarnation. So this is like a forced incarnation. But if we learn to master our matrix field, we create a certain formation, a certain grid pattern, so that when we leave this life, and we don't have to wait till we leave this life, we can work with it throughout our life in this incarnation. But when we do leave this incarnation, we don't get caught in any kind of holographic entrapment or anything like that. We go beyond this. We then choose where we go. Basically, we have liberty, we have freedom, either in this incarnation when we pass over and whichever incarnation we come to. So the book is really about that.
Wow, that's a lot of heavy stuff. The information you provide, I don't think I've ever heard anyone explain it so well. Let's see if I've actually understood this, because I'm still very much in 3D. I've two tentacles going towards 4D and 5D and 6D, but very much in 3D. So what you're saying is that we have our own energy. We have our own individual matrix, which is an information energy around us. And then we are then within a holographic entrapment outside of that. And so we have to master our own matrix in order to get out of the bigger matrix. Is that right?
Yes, this is only one method though. There are many teachers out there all teaching the same and similar methods. This is about becoming sovereign and becoming free, becoming a master of our reality. So this is just one model. So when you say, you know, we have our own energy, our own individual energy, really what it is we are a matrix. It's not so much that we have an energy field around us, which is how we perceive it in linear terms. We are a matrix. So before we come into physical form and take on a physical body, we are an individualized construct, non-physical construct. We're an individualized matrix field. So it's like a consciousness that is this this field without a body, you know, without legs and arms. You know, we are this matrix, but we are still an individualized structure with a mind. When we come into the physical body, that is still there with us. And so it's becoming aware of it. And it's learning about how to work with it. It's just another model. It's really the nine say, a sixth dimensional model of the law of attraction. So if you were to utilize the law of attraction with typical visualizations and imagining the things that you want and seeing them come to you and feeling the emotions as if they've already happened, all those ways, those wonderful ways we can work with the law of attraction, that's very much a fifth dimensional method. All works. There's no better than or worse than. It doesn't matter which model you choose. You choose the one that resonates with you. But this is a sixth dimensional model of the same thing. It's just a different metaphor.
I see. And is there a difference between energy field and matrix?
I would say that that's the same thing, really. It's just that there is power in words and in the understanding of words. So if we say, I have an energy field, then the words energy field kind of create that. And that is in itself, a powerful way of describing what we are and what we hold. But when we say, I hold a matrix, I am a matrix, that's again, a higher metaphor, but it will depend on your own emotions. The emotions are absolute key here, and this is how to program the matrix. The nine speak of the matrix as being like a computer system, if you like, a living computer.
Right.
We program this computer, and for thousands of years, our matrix, our matrices have been hijacked. So we are, you know, without us knowing, unbeknownst to us, and it's still happening now, right across the planet. Third dimensional individuals that haven't woken up spiritually, their matrix is hijacked through all sorts of means coming into this reality. Once we're aware of that matrix, we can then we get to a state where it can no longer be hijacked. It's impossible for that to occur once we take that sovereignty.
Right. I guess the reason I asked you about the difference between energy field and matrix is, in my mind, energy field is sort of like a constant energy field, whereas matrix is something else woven into the energy field, which has codes and other things embedded so that, you know, it can change.
Yes, that's another way of explaining it. I mean, from one perspective, you could view the energy field and the matrix as the same thing. From another perspective, you could see them as two different things. And how you explained it is a very good explanation, because yes, the matrix has codes. And really, the matrix is the DNA. It is that quantum aspect of the DNA.
Yeah.
But we visualize it in its larger sense so that we can see it. It's also, you know, the patterning of the brain. It is the true essence of us in a sixth dimensional form, because we are geometry, just like the universe. We are, it says in the Bible, you know, God made man in his own image. And that's really what this is about. You know, source is a presentation of energy. And the highest metaphor to see this would be light and sound and geometry and mathematics and number. So we are all these things. So it's just taking the metaphor of us relating to source energy and, you know, taking it up to the next dimensional level. And really, in order to help us to become sovereign and become free, and that's what all this is about. It's about becoming free and becoming masters of our reality, as in masters of the matrix. Another way to explain a master of the matrix would be an alchemist. It's kind of the same thing. An alchemist would be using a different metaphor, but a master of the matrix is an alchemist, because one is changing the structure of the body from a dormant state to an activated state. So one could say from lead into gold. So all of these wonderful teachings are out there, all coming in from these different star seeds and healers and channels and You know, we're being bombarded at the moment with information coming in from all areas, in all dimensions, and then we choose where we want to place our focus and where we want to place our learning. The Nine have recently spoken about this to me. They're calling this time we are now in the deluge. So it's like a deluge of information coming in from all dimensions. It's on the third dimension, and it's coming in from other dimensions as well. So there are going to be more and more people out there releasing information like this, teaching their models of how to become sovereign and free, and how to live a joyful life, and how to manifest the things that we want on a global scale. So that's really what this book is about.
And Magenta, that's certainly a deluge of information, but I have never, ever heard anyone explain life so clearly. You've just explained what it's all about. I mean, wow.
And can I just ask you something, Magenta?
Yeah.
In what you just said, are you differentiating between personal reality and the outer reality, the shared reality, or the general consensus of reality, like the inner reality and versus the outer reality that we all share, the morphic field? I mean, you know, it's sort of as within, so without. I'm just going to add one more thing. During my psychic state, my psychic awakening, there was a point where I had a trance state where I just actually left this reality. I sort of stepped into a portal, I guess, or something where I was somewhere else. And I woke up on a hospital bed, sitting in my chair. In my mind or wherever I was in the universe or not in the universe, I woke up and I was in a hospital bed, and it was like I was waking up out of anesthesia, and I was sort of opening my eyes, and I was drowsy, and everything was sort of black and white, and there were doctors, or I believe, standing over me, looking down at looking down at me. And I said Patrick, because I believe that's who the person I'd been talking to prior to that. And the one man turned to the other and he said, "Oh, sir, he still thinks I'm Patrick or something." And I had wires attached to my head and everything. And I ended up, some doctor came by and said, "Don't feel bad if you're still sleeping. You need your extra sleep." And then I remember attending trauma therapy classes, group trauma therapy for trauma you've had in life. And it was almost a badge of honor for people, like bragging rights, because they've learned the most by having the most trauma. And there was a couple of other things that happened in this before I sort of came back to physical reality. And it was almost like it was just my experience, and I don't even know what the reality of it was. You know, everybody has all kinds of sort of, this wasn't even an out-of-body experience, but but it made me become more aware of Matrix. I believe this was what Matrix technology might be, and then I might have been participating in what I call what my higher self calls a human experiment, quote unquote, or the game of life. But I'm not sure, you know, it's just my personal experience, but.
Yeah, it's very, very common. Very common experience. I've heard this repeatedly from many people. I've had something similar myself. So there's many ways to explain this. So you could explain this in a linear sense by saying that there are family members in ships, in light ships surrounding this planet, and they will take us in our astral bodies. There'll be some kind of agreement, and they'll take us into the ships, into the sort of healing rooms, and they will assist us and help us and work on us. That's one metaphor. Or you could take a higher metaphor, and you could say that the DNA is activating and you are awakening memories, and you are using metaphoric symbolism to explain the awakening that's occurring within you, because you would look at all the symbols here, such as, you know, in a hospital waking up. You know, so this is the trauma release. It's all deep, deep activation and deep healing. And all of these realities are true. on one reality, yes, you're going into the ships and the extraterrestrial beings are assisting you. And on another reality, it could be a more darker scenario that people go through where they feel they've been abducted or taken. And then there's a higher reality where it's a memory. All of these are true. Each dimension holds a different perspective. And each of those perspectives are correct, and they are different. But your first question, you said, am I looking at the personal or the more sort of, oneness, the more global reality here? And it's all interconnected. It's all interconnected. And the nine showed me, right. If you visualize your matrix as being, around you, it's kind of like a dodecahedron presentation. So if you see a dodecahedron and they've got little sides, if another dodecahedron comes along next to you, or a hexagon, it might be a different formation, it clicks into place, and then another one may come to the other side of you and click into place. So these are all the other individuals or the other aspects of selves. This makes up just an infinite stream of these dodecahedrons clicking in together. So then if you come back out and you look at that formation, you think, wow, there's me in this huge sort of matrix field of loads and loads of matrices. And then you look at your matrix and you realize that that's exactly what yours looks like. It's like this huge fractal. And we can zoom in and zoom out of the fractal that is us. And we can go right into the tiniest little piece, and then it'll look exactly the same as when we pull back out and see ourselves there and we look at the greater reality. So ultimately, this is a personal and it is a unified, global, universal, cosmic matrix. But if we take sovereignty within our matrix, we are therefore taking sovereignty within the global matrix, within the universal matrix. And it's all about standing or sitting within the central point of the matrix. And what this does is it gives us the core of the integrated self. So it's like if you imagine a ship, and on that ship there's a crew and there's no captain. So the crew are all running around and they don't know what they're doing, and they're all doing different things, and the ship's going all over the place. When the captain comes along, the captain takes command, if you like, and then gets the crew in order, and then the ship starts to sail properly, and everything is just great. That's kind of what you're doing when you become a master of the matrix. You become the captain and the crew, but you take the perspective of the captain, and the crew is all the other aspects of you. So you become aware of the captaincy, if you like, or the leadership aspect of everything that's you. And when you look around this reality, most people are not in that situation. It's like they don't know what the other part of them is doing. They feel angry and they don't know why, or they're depressed, or they're upset, or they will react in a certain way and say, I don't know why I did that. I really surprised myself acting that way. No idea where that came from. This is somebody who is not standing in mastery of their matrix, but these are individuals who are here to learn this. When we take mastery within the matrix, then we learn why do we feel this way? Why do we want this? Why did we act this way? Why did we say those things? And we learn. And what's actually happening here is we're becoming individualized. We're integrating all the aspects of our multidimensional selves. And then it goes beyond just the human aspect. We're going into the quantum aspect and all the other aspects of selves. The matrix has a forward moving aspect, a sideways moving aspect, and a diagonal moving aspect as well. And the forward back is the future and the past. Sideways are the quantum realities, and the diagonal aspects are the, I don't really know what they are, to be honest. I'm only just working with the diagonal aspect of the matrix myself, but it's more the higher dimensions, and that's kind of in my next book, and I haven't really gone into it yet.
Again, you just touched on something that Lana and I have spent a lot of time on the show about, the multidimensional personality. And, of course, I'm a past life regressionist therapist, and, I've had more experiences with this than most people. In fact, I don't know how I think you just said this, but I have
In fact, this happened last night. Last night we were meditating, and I could see through time. I could sense it almost. I could see some black and white scenes, but I could see going so far back, and I could see wars and terrible things. And I have past life personalities that have great trauma, and I mentioned some of it to Lana, and it was very painful. And these past life personalities, a few of them are still active. I still have some issues there, but a lot of it's been healed. But this is a very real thing that I work with every day, and Lana deals with as well, being my partner. So it's of interest to us in these karmic contracts and these life agreements and whatnot, and even deals with, I guess I'd say, troublesome spirits, let's say dark spirits in yeah. past lives as well. So I have a whole, that's a particular area that I work with quite a bit in my own life and sometimes with other people.
Absolutely. You're taking your place as a starseed, and you are teaching the same, you know, truth, the same reality. All of this is so important. If we are graduating to another dimension or another density, then we need to move into an integrated aspect of self. So this will be the traumas in this life, the traumas in other lives coming together. We don't stand and hold the memory field all at once. We aren't able to do that, to actually look at all the memories at once, but we can move in and out of them and heal them all and work with them all. So everyone has this, but as I was saying, most people, they're unaware of these other personalities. They're not ready to uncover them yet. They haven't dealt with traumas in this life, so it would be far too fast for them to uncover the past life personalities. And then you look at people who are moving through this ascension process, and this is what they're doing in their own way. You know, I've had clients come to me and, you know, say to me, you're going to think I'm crazy, Magenta. And I'm like, you know, try me. I promise I won't. What is it? And they said, well, I think that there's like between 12 and 15 people inside me, and I'm all these different people. And, you know, if a doctor or a psychiatrist were to hear this and see a person in a sort of a fragmented state, then you would be looking at something like multiple personality disorder or schizophrenia, because this is a reaction to trauma where the person disassociates from one part or another part in order to function. It's like a safety mechanism, really, but that's the complete opposite. It's a similar mechanism, but it's the opposite. It's like one is disintegration as a safety mechanism in response to trauma. The other is a coming together. And that's where you stand with the core. That's why you're the captain of the ship. If you're the captain and the crew, but you're still the captain, you can be 12 people, 15 people, 100 people, as long as you are aware that you can function in a whole integrated sense. So it's like a coming together rather than a pulling apart. And that's what's happening to all the starseeds. That's the multidimensionality. And it's not easy to do. And if you haven't got someone else to speak to, you can feel like you're going crazy, which is why we're out there writing books and speaking, so that other people who are going through this can hear interviews like this and think, wow, this has been happening to me, and I thought I was crazy, and now I realize this is normal, you know, for the ascending individuals. Because you're not going to read about this, you know, in the tabloid news for a start. I mean, we don't really get any information there, do we? So we need this information out there for the individuals that are going through this, and it's huge right now. This is a very, very intense awakening, and the starseeds are all, you know, when they're activated, they are all waking up. They are all going through these experiences in their own way. It's absolutely phenomenal when you actually look energetically at how many people are experiencing this.
Really?
Wow.
I mean, that's especially interesting to me because I do work in the area of mental health.
Yes, you do, don't you? Yeah.
I have a collective. I mean, I go through this strongly. Lana's been working with me in my aspect for years now.
But unlike what we call dissociative identity, or the old multiple personality disorder, you know, I'm now aware that people can have selves from past lives that are still active within them, which is a completely different thing altogether. What interests me very much, and certainly in therapy, with someone who has multiple personality disorder or dissociative identity disorder, the aim is to integrate all the personalities.
Yes.
I'm not sure how easy it is to integrate personalities from the past. I'm just interested in your approach, because you, I believe you have worked with many individuals. What is the approach that you take?
Well, ultimately, from a mental health point of view, integrating a past life and integrating a multiple personality is kind of the same thing. From a third dimensional point of view, from a mental health point of view, it doesn't matter whether it's a past life person or a current life person, because the aim is for integration. So that's for somebody who is, you know, disintegrated and disassociated through trauma. Somebody who's working with a more awakening and spiritual, and they are standing within that sort of core without going into disintegration, they're actually becoming integrated. There are many, many methods that you can use. And obviously the method that the nine teach is the method in the Masters of the Matrix. It's using a sixth dimensional model. So you are going forward and back along the forward moving arm and the backward moving arm of this cross that is the central point of the matrix. So you're using geometry, but there are many other methods, like, you know, soul integration, inner child work. There's all sorts of ways that you can come together with these aspects. I mean, one really good way is communication with these aspects. It's to sit down and communicate with all of them and get to know them all and find out what their needs are. Some people will have past life aspects and have memories of these past lives. Other people will find that their past life aspects relate to sort of spirit guides or spirit entities around them. Other people will have these past life aspects relate to organs of the body. For example, for a woman, the womb. They may have a beautiful goddess who may be troubled. Why is she troubled? Perhaps she's being ignored. Well, that might be because you're having menstrual pain, or maybe, you know, you want to get pregnant and you haven't had a baby yet, so the womb is troubled because she wants to be a mother. This is ways of finding out the different aspects of our body and what our body wants. All the different organs of the body and all the different cells of the body are part of that matrix. They each are an individualized aspect of you. And so the way forward into this new dimension is to integrate the microcosmic aspect of us, which is all the cells, the organs of the body, the emotions, and then we've got the quantum aspect, the past life. And what's really interesting is the starseeds, when they look at their ultimate past life, as in tracing back their linear incarnations in a linear journey back to their starting point, as in where was the first place that you birthed, if you like, where's your seed point, your inception point as a soul, you'll be traced back to a planetary system that is more than likely going to be outside of Earth, because the star seeds have come in to assist this planet. So when you go back and you find a star seed's inception point is the Pleiades or Lyra or Sirius, that's actually a future life. It's a past life and a future life simultaneously. This is where the matrix joins up. This is why it's good. It's not important to understand the matrix. You can do this so many ways. But a lot of people like to understand the geometry, and they're called to that geometry. So this is where the matrix actually lines up. This is where the past and the future become the same place. And so when you actually take the central point of the matrix, that's the zero point, there is no past, present, future there. There are no past life contracts. There are no past incarnations or future incarnations. Everything is one moment. So the very central point of the matrix is the source point. It's the zero point. And that is just this one moment. So, you know, you choose where you want to go. It's kind of like looking at the dimensions in a circular grid formation rather than looking at them on top of one another, but you actually create these dimensions as being around you. So they are you rather than being something that you're living within or something that's outside of you, because you are part of all of this entire, you know, reality. So it's all part of the integration. You're integrating the environment as well as the aspects of self and the aspects of higher self and everything. You're integrating the environment as well into that.
My higher self, which I also call the higher mind or the wise mind, actually had told aspects of myself, we are now going through the unification process, the integration process, and you must awaken, you must come unstuck from the lives that you're stuck in, your addiction to your lives and your traumas, and you must awaken and you must integrate. And that has been happening more recently than it had been in years past. But I actually do have one particular lifetime. We are running out of time. I did want to just mention this very quickly. One that it's a memory that my higher self tells me the energy is the memory or the energy of the memory is has been very difficult to resolve because the trauma was so great. And I've actually worked with Alexandra Meters on this. It's a druid that she identified and other channelers have identified in me. That he made deals with Vikings and with some gods or something in that lifetime, and he was sort of a traitor to his own tribe or village, and the Vikings actually came in and destroyed the entire village and killed his family and murdered everyone, and there's just significant trauma there, and it won't seem to integrate. It's been very difficult, you know.
I do completely understand. And the thing is, a lot of people say, oh, I really want to know my past lives, thinking it's some romantic, amazing journey where you're going to find out that you were this lovely, lovely person. And of course, it's traumatic because every physical life will have its good and its bad and often deep trauma. And I completely relate to you. I've had, you know, trouble over years dealing with trauma from one particular past life. So the matrix work will assist, but the best piece of advice I can give you is there's no hurry. It's not like you're on a deadline. I know everything your higher self said is correct. Unification, integration, time to awaken and integrate. You must do this. All of that is true, but it's not like, right, by next week, David, you need to have sorted this trauma out. It's not like that. It's like as long as you are working with it and unfolding it, then you are in a state of momentum. You are moving forward. So as long as you are working with this and it's not being buried and it's not being pushed away, as long as you're working with it, then you are in that state of flow. It's a constant uncovering. There's no end point. You don't get to a point and think, right, here I am, I'm in the center of my matrix, my matrix grid is perfect, the geometry is amazing, it's a beautiful light body, and I'm done. Yes, it's not like that. It's a constant journey. So I do understand, and there may be, if there's trauma there still, there may still be things you need to know, memories you need to uncover. Why? Because they're related to this life. And if you're looking at, you know, traitor, betrayal, there's energy there that's linked to this reality right now, whether it's you personally or whether it's the job you're going to do that's helping others that are coming to you that are, you know, being infiltrated or hold guilt. I mean, we've got this huge unraveling to go through globally right now across the planet. So we're not just integrating our own selves and our own traumas. We're working together as a collective consciousness across the planet to do this globally, you know? And so that's a tough one. You and I right now are sort of on catching the energy a little bit because you're in Australia, I'm in the UK, but in America, that's the sort of central hub of this intensity, this intense energy of integration and change, and the energy, it's like it's a sort of a vortex in the middle of this grid, and it's opening up and it's infiltrating out to the rest of us over in the other countries, if you want to look at it in a spatial sense. So America is very, very intense, and there are many starseeds in America who need to hear this information and read these books and have these healings and come and see people like you to have help. So we can all help one another to integrate and wake up and, you know, create this new dimension. And it's all happening and it's working. It's all on track.
I generally don't do past life regressions for other people, past life regression therapy, and I generally don't recommend it because I usually tell people that, you know, unless you're led to do that by your higher self, generally you're going to be working on those past life issues in this life anyhow and healing them without even knowing it. But we are running out of time as well. But
we can get together another time.
Yeah, I want to bring you on the show again because I think we need to. I'd love to talk more about what's happening in the world with the paradigm shift and what, you know, maybe we could be doing to just help transform within it, or, you know, just talk more about it.
Wonderful, dense, and yet very clear information you've given us. I'm just, you know, absolutely gobsmacked. You've just explained life.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
Thank you so much. Your wisdom is incredibly deep. Very clear
thank
as well.
You.
So,
thank you for inviting me on your show. And I love the title, Universal Soul Love. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Well, we'll say goodbye now, Magenta Pixie, and goodbye to all our listeners. We hope you've all been blown away by what Magenta has said, just like we have been.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be processing this for the next few years. So,
thank you.
From myself, big hugs to everybody, to all the starseeds out there. May we all come together, grow and ascend together, and unify. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you, Magenta. Bye.
Thank you.